Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our sins,
as we forgive those who sin against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Again, we're so glad to have you here. We're excited because our oldest daughter and her husband and little maybe our grandbaby's here. That's the important one. And then Emily's here as well. And we love our children. We just love our grandchildren more. It's just one of those things. I'm just teasing on that. We love them all sort of equally. And but hey, at this time, very quietly, the kids are dismissed. For Asbury Church Kids, so if you want to make your way. And everybody else, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We are going to continue our message on Our Father, and this is Our Father Part 2. And last week, if you missed it, was Our Father Part 1, and we did not have Our Father Part 0 before that, so we're all good. But hey, what we're doing is we're just kind of looking at the topic of prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, and looking at some different passages, and it's a marvelous prayer to read and reflect on. And so last week we talked about why pray. Today we're going to talk a little bit more about how to pray. But I want to begin by reading together Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And I think we have it for the screen. And so if you could please read along with me. But it says this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And as I mentioned last week, that this was a prayer that not only did Jesus teach it to his followers, but as the church began to grow and as it began to spread, the followers of Jesus would begin to pray this prayer. And actually, by the end of the first century, beginning of the second century, there's a document called the Didache that talks about baptism and communion, but it also talks about prayer. And the early church would pray this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, three times a day. They would pray it first thing in the morning when they wake up. They would pray it at the noon hour, and then they would pray it after the evening meal. And it was an opportunity to stop and reflect again and again. Now, I know that in our tradition, we don't recite prayers as much, but the early church, this was such an important prayer, because not only was it something that was said, but it became a model by which the church was encouraged to pray. Now, one of the things we talked about last week about why we pray is because prayer reminds our hearts of our Father's goodness. And we looked at a few things last week, and I just want to kind of recap them real quickly. The first was this, is that as people, we are natural worriers. Okay, anybody here this past week have an opportunity to worry? All right, how many of you plan to worry? How many of you, you're like going, I put it on my schedule on Tuesday at 4:35, I'm just going to take some time, I'm going to sit down, and I'm just going to worry. How many of you did that? No, how many of you, worry was on your schedule, but you didn't plan it simply because worry seems to come naturally. We worry about our family, our finances, our health, you know, the list goes on and on, you know, relationships, children, and it doesn't stop. And we're natural worriers, and we get concerned. And Jesus is teaching his followers a much better way. And the Sermon on the Mount is this amazing message. It's a teaching for Jesus' followers about what it looks like to follow him. And instead of being natural worriers, what Jesus does is he invites us to live differently. The reality is, the more we worry, the more worn down we become. Have you noticed how worrying wears you down a little bit? wears down your heart, your emotion, it can begin to, you know, affect your relationships, how you speak, how you interact. And Jesus is like, listen, I want to invite you to live so much differently. And so he invites them to begin to pray. He challenges them to pray. Because prayer is this wonderful opportunity that each one of us has to lean into God's goodness. So last week we talked about why we should pray. Well, this morning we're going to kind of continue by talking about how we should pray. Because it's good to know why, but we also need to look at the how we pray. And as we begin, the thing that we're just going to settle on, just kind of our final reflection as we get through all of this, is that what part of the reason why we pray and what it does for us is it begins to reorient our perspective and our posture. It begins, when we begin to be people who pray as Jesus teaches his followers to pray, it begins to change the way we see the world, our perspective, but also our posture, how we walk. Have you ever looked at people and you can tell whether they're having a good day or bad day just by their posture? Like sometimes they're just kind of, you can tell people they're like a little worn down, little defeated, and they can be, you know, hunched over a little or just avoiding eye contact or the kind of cross. And their posture is affected by their perspective. And the reason that as we pray, what God begins to do is he begins to change not only the way we see, but the way we walk through the world. And so we're going to begin at Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. And again, Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's got this great little line. It says this, when you pray. Everybody say when. I want you to know prayer is not an if you pray. It's a when you pray. That followers of Jesus are expected to pray. And so he begins in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and it says this, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Okay, so I love this part of the passage because this is going to be the stuff that is immediately before Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer. And it's interesting because he begins his discussion about prayer by telling us how not to pray. And he gives two examples. He has two characters. One is the hypocrite and one is the pagan. Now, as we read this passage, one of the things that's important is it's a reminder to us that our prayer matters. So if you read, Jesus will say that what you do in secret, your Father will reward you. I want you to know that God pays attention to our prayers. God pays attention. Like when you're praying, I want you to know God sees, he hears, and he longs to pour good upon our lives. This is part of the reason why we pray, because prayer begins to provide opportunity for God to work in our lives in new and sometimes unexpected ways. And he tells them, okay, so when you're praying, don't be like these two types of people. Don't be like the hypocrites, and don't be like the pagans. Now, the hypocrite he talks about are people who use prayer as a way to gain standing. Now, in Jesus' day, culture looked a little bit different. The temple was like the centerpiece, and religion was such a high, important part of the culture that people would say, hey, you know how to raise my standing in the community is to be seen as praying. And so prayer, for some people, was just a way by which people to say, hey, I'm impressed with what you're doing. And Jesus is like, listen, prayer is not about trying to make people think we're impressive people. Like prayer is not about trying to make people think we're better than we are, or that we're more than what we are. What prayer is prayer is really about our response and our interaction with the Father. But not only that, he says, don't be like the hypocrite who uses prayer to elevate his standing. He also says, don't be like the pagan who would use their words, their babbling, to manipulate the gods. Now, in Jesus' time, there's not just Jewish people and temple worship where there's the sacrificial systems and the prayer and all that stuff. The Romans also prayed. You may not realize this, but the Romans prayed. The Romans also had temples. They had temples to Zeus and Aphrodite and Dionysus, and they had all these prayers. And for the Romans, one of the things you have to understand about the gods they prayed to is their gods were capricious. That just simply means that if they were in a bad mood, look out. The gods weren't predictable. They could be kind of, annoyed with you. Anybody here get annoyed with other people at times, right? And they thought, well, the gods are annoyed with us, and so we have to do things to appease the gods. Or maybe the gods are fighting amongst themselves, and as they're fighting, our lives are getting wrecked. And so their thought about prayer was, is what we can do is we can manipulate the gods to get the things that we want. And Jesus is like, hey, guys, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who are trying to use it to raise their standing, and don't be like the pagans who are trying to manipulate the gods, trying to get the gods to do for them what they want the gods to do. And I think it's kind of interesting, because even though we may not have, all these, pagan gods, this, around us, how many know that sometimes we can try to manipulate God even through our prayers? God, look what I've done. I have tithed. God, look what I have done. I have done this, or I've done that. God, surely you need to do this. And sometimes our prayer to God is just trying to manipulate him, or try to get him to do what we want. And Jesus is like, guys, this is not how my followers are to pray. And so after setting two negative examples, he says, I want to show you how to pray. Jesus has this beautiful short prayer that we've already read together. And this beautiful short prayer is not rooted in standing what other people think of us or the manipulation. It actually rests in this incredible confidence in who God is, that he loves us and he desires good for our lives. Did you know what one of the most common prayers in the Bible is, in the Old Testament, that the Jewish people would pray? This was their prayer. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. They would say it over and over. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. How many know that God is good? How many know on a bad day, God is still good? How many know when we have a bad attitude, God is still good? How many know God is just good? That's his nature. And not only that, his action toward us is rooted in his love and his faithfulness. And this is so amazing. And so he begins to tell them about the Lord's prayer. He teaches them the Lord's prayer. This is how you should pray. And he begins by saying, Our Father. And as we look at this prayer this morning, I want to note some important ideas that I think influence how we pray. The first is this, is that when you begin to look at the Lord's Prayer, it reminds us that life is more than just me and just here. What do I mean by that? What are the first two words of the Lord's Prayer? Say it out loud. First two words. Okay, what's the first word? Our. Do you know what it's not? My Father. It begins with our Father. What's really amazing about this very first line of the prayer, the very first words, is it reminds us that prayer is really about orienting our hearts vertically with God as well as with people. Our Father. Hey, have you ever met people who thought or have the idea that, you know what, it's just about my faith. It's just about me and God. That's all that matters. I don't need anybody else. I don't need a church. It's just me and God. Just so you know, that idea has nothing to do with what Jesus actually teaches. Faith may be a personal decision, but that personal decision places us in community. And so prayer becomes about our Father. It's about vertical relationship and horizontal relationship. And this is so important because even as we come to God, we are recognizing that we are actually a part of a community, that we're part of a people, that you know what, we get to be God's people together, that it's not just about me. Have you ever noticed sometimes in life we make it about me? Not me, but you. We make it about ourselves. We make so much of life about ourselves, what we want, what we don't want, what we like, what we don't like. And God says, Jesus is like, guys, listen, if you're my follower, this is how you're going to pray. And as you pray, what it's going to do, it's going to shift, it's going to reorient your perspective and your posture. And you're not just going to think about your own faith, you're going to begin to think about faith as our Father. I think it's interesting that Jesus teaches us about fathers. Now, if you've read some of the New Testament and a bunch of the Old, they have these things called genealogies. Now, when it comes to our genealogy, we find it interesting, don't we? Like, who's my mother, and who's her mother, and her father, and what's our family tree? And we get excited about that. But we get to the Bible. How many have read through some of the genealogies? And Bob was the father of Fred. And Fred was the father of Matthew, and you go on and just go, and you're like your eyes are bleeding from the pain. It's like this is just dry and awful. But what's interesting is you follow the genealogy back, and it'll land at a beginning, right? Father of Abraham, the father of Adam. See, the idea of father means that we're actually a part of something that's been going on for a while. And what Jesus is trying to help his followers understand is, you know where everything actually begins? It begins with God. Like, everything begins with God, and this is so important because as we're praying, this is how we begin to pray. We begin to recognize, you know what? I'm a part of something so much bigger than just me. Secondly, the next line says, not only is it our Father in heaven, but it'll say this, hallowed be thy name. Remember hearing the story of a kid who comes home from Sunday school and says, I know what God's name is. And his mom's like, what's his name? And he's like, Harold. What? Yeah, we learned it. Our Father who art in heaven, Harold be thy name. Right? Or was it Howard? One of the two, right? But anyways, there's this whole idea of, okay, you know, like this hallowed be thy name. You know, that's kind of an interesting idea because it's kind of like, well, what does that mean? And so some people say, you know what it is? What it's saying is holy is your name. And just so you know, God's name is holy. But that's not what's being done in this prayer. See, do you know what prayer is? When it comes down to it, it's about a conversation, but it's not just a conversation, it's an ask. It's an ask. It's seeking for God to do something. And so Jesus is saying, hey, I want to teach you how to pray. And he says, our Father who art in heaven. And then he says this, hallowed be or make sanctified or make holy your name. And I think this is so important because you know what's happening in this line of the Lord's Prayer? It's really about inviting God to make his name known in the midst of our situations and circumstances. God, make your name known. Now, there's so much behind this that we don't have time to look at all of this. You'll find out that God has a name, and that name was a holy name. It was a sanctified name. But one of God's desire was that his name would be made known. not just for his people, but beyond his people, that everybody would know that he is the God who has made all this, who cares desperately and cares for the creation that he's made. He wants his name to be known. And Jesus is like, hey, when you're praying, this is how you begin to pray. God, in my situation, let your name be known. Let your name be set apart. Let your name be holy. Lord, let your person see. In Jewish culture, name was more than just an identifier. It was a revealing of God's character or a revealing of character. And so this whole idea of the name of God is revealing something about him. And Jesus is saying, hey, guys, listen, when you pray, begin to ask God to reveal himself in the midst of the situation that you're in, that he would make his name holy. See, I think this is awesome because how many know that our families can cause us a little bit of angst on the inside? Come on now. That's not maybe not your family, maybe my family. That's just because they're here. But you think about it, and it's just like, God, in my family, would you make your name holy? God, in my work, because how many know work can be a bit of a stress, a source of worry? God, in the midst of this, God, would you make your name holy? God, in the midst of my struggle, in the midst of my difficulty, in the midst of my confusion, in the midst of my uncertainty, God, what I need you to do more than anything else is, Lord, make your name known. You see, I think something begins to change when we invite God to make himself known in the midst of our situations. And part of what Jesus is doing is he's saying, hey, as you begin to pray, understand it's not just about you, but understand that the way you begin to pray is you say, God, in the midst of this situation, God, would you begin to make yourself known? Let me ask you, what is the situation in your life, in your world, in the midst of the circumstances you're in that you need God to make his name known? Like, where is that area where you're wrestling and you're dealing with uncertainty and you may be lacking the clarity? There may be the frustration. It may be that area that you're worrying about that you didn't put on the calendar. And Jesus invites his followers to say, Lord, would you just begin to make your name known in the midst of this situation? God, begin to reveal yourself. Because God, what God longs to do is to show himself to his people. Third. So life is more than just me. Prayer is about inviting God to make his name known. Not only that, prayer involves aligning ourselves with God's purpose. Now, I know some of you are old enough to know who Frank Sinatra is. Right, Pat? Yeah. Old Blue Eyes. He had a famous song. He had many famous songs. But one of his famous songs was, I did it my way, right? How many know that song? Like when you hear it, it's just like it swells. I did it my way. And you can just see, you can almost see the jazz hands going because it's just like, you know, it's just a big glory note at the end. I did it my way. And there's just something about the ethos of that song, the emotion of the song that we feel. And there's a part of us like, you know, yeah, I'm going to do it my way. How many know that your way may not always be the right way? And how many know you can do it your way and miss God's way? And Jesus is so concerned about this. He says, guys, when you pray, this is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I love that part. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you know that heaven has a picture of what God desires for the situation you're in? Now this is what I know. Not every situation that we experience or face is really God's desire or his will. What do I mean by that? God is not willing. It tells us in Scripture that God is not willing that any should perish, but all have everlasting life. God is not willing that any should perish. Yet God has given us room to make decisions, whether for his will or against his will. And so sometimes in life, we do experience things that this is not what God wills. And I know that there are times that we wrestle in the midst of the junk that's going on and going, okay, well, maybe God willed this for me. And listen, God is good. And because he's good, he's able to bring good out of anything and everything. Doesn't matter how bad it is, but just because something happened to you doesn't mean that's what God willed. And so he tells his people, hey, guys, Jesus tells his followers, guys, when you're praying, you need to pray, God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's an invitation for us to begin to say, God, would you help me align with the decision you have for me? You see, the very first sin, the way sin began, as we read in the Garden of Eden in the beginning of Genesis, the way it began was just simply Adam and Eve saying, hey, you know what? I think we'll do it our way. My way. They thought, you know what? God's trying to withhold good from us. We can experience good apart from God. We'll do it our way. And instead of it getting them to something better, it brought them to something broken. And one of the things that we have to learn to choose in our life, and this is why we pray, because prayer isn't so much about changing God as it is about changing me and us. Fourthly, prayer involves trusting God to meet our needs. It goes on to say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And some people think that this is a prayer that echoes the story that happens in Exodus where God provides for his people manna in the wilderness. That God says, hey, you know what? I will give to you what you need today. Let me tell you about the good God that we serve. The good God that we serve gives us what we need for today. Anytime you ask God, because this is what it tells us over, we talked about this last week, that if any of you sons, if you fathers, if your son asks you for bread, will he give him a stone? And it's rhetorical, and the answer is like, well, of course not. If he's really hungry, will he give him bread? Yes, he'll give him bread. And then Jesus will say later, if you who are evil, if you fathers who are evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Give us this day our daily bread. Do you know what I believe? I believe that when we pray that prayer, God gives us what we need for the days we're in. Sometimes in the midst of our days and our times, how many know we can have some really bad days? It's not what we expected. It's not what we wanted. We can be in those moments where our hearts are devastated and broken. But this is the good God that we serve. God, I need grace to get me through today. And you know what he does? He gives us what we need. Some of you, you're going through some stuff right now. And you're wrestling with a whole bunch of questions and concerns. And there is uncertainty in your life that is shaking you. I want you to know, God, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, give us today our daily bread. That means he will give you enough to get you through today. I know what I want. I want enough bread to know that it's going to get me the whole thing. I like to know the whole story. How many are with me on this one? But what is it that God has promised to give us? What we need for today. And this is why we pray this. Give us today our daily bread. And it's the reminder and the assurance that we have a good God who will give us what we need. Not only that, the reason we're to pray, how we pray is the next line is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, some of you, you're familiar with the other way that we do the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes we say debts and sometimes we say trespasses. Now, just so you know, the idea of debt is when you have debt, you have an obligation. There is something that is owed. How many know whenever there's a violation, it also has an accompanying obligation? Just let me demonstrate to you. Some of you have been hurt by people and you're waiting for something in return to begin to make it right, and that is, I want you to say, I'm sorry. They owe me an apology. Because where there's violation, there's obligation. And you know what Jesus teaches his followers? Forgive us our debts, what we owe, even as we forgive our debtors. Did you know that for the follower of Christ, granting forgiveness to other people is not optional? It is required. This is one of the hardest teachings of Jesus, I think, is that granting forgiveness to another is not optional. It is required. And just in case you don't hear it in the Lord's Prayer that says, forgive us our debts or our trespasses, even as we forgive our trespassers, Jesus will end it by saying, hey, if you don't forgive the people around you, you won't be forgiven before God. Because forgiveness is not optional, it is required. And because it is something that is so hard, you know what we need in order to give forgiveness? We need God's strength and His grace. And the reason we can grant forgiveness to other people is because of what Jesus has done for us. How many know that Jesus paid a debt He didn't owe? Like He paid a price that He did not owe, and He did it because He loved us, and then says to us as His followers, now, as I've done, I want you to do. See, as we begin to pray, it really helps us become mindful of relationship. And we become mindful that, you know, that for us to really live in the forgiveness and live the life God's called us to, we actually have to be people who pray. Because reconciliation begins with prayer. That's how it begins. The last part I just want to note from the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll close. I'll invite the worship team to come up, make me close even faster. And everybody said, amen. No, you go, oh, no, please, no. The last thing I just want to note from the Lord's Prayer, because Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. And then he says this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's the cry of the heart that says, God, I need you to lead me. Because as I go through this world, I get a little distracted. Anybody here get a little distracted? Get a little annoyed? Get a little hijacked? And it's, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me. And I love this idea of lead, because what God has come to do, what Jesus has come to do, is to provide leadership for our life, to guide and direct us. Psalm 23, you all know it. It's a beautiful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I want you to understand that God's desire is to lead us through. And the reason we pray is we need direction. Not only do we need direction, but we need to tap into a power and a strength so that we might overcome the temptation to act out of our flesh and to react and to be bitter and to be spiteful and hurtful and angry and mean. We need His grace. Paul writes to the church in Corinth saying, hey guys, listen, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. Which is a beautiful statement. It just reminds us the temptations we face, it's just part of what it means to be human. But the part I love about that verse says this, but God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. Say it again, God is faithful. And then it says this, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Did you know every test, every temptation you face, God knows you can overcome? Because he won't let you be tempted and tested beyond what you can bear. Some of you, you're like going in the, you're in the midst of stuff and you're like going, I can't do it. You have those moments, tears start flowing, I'm just done. I can't do it. And God's like, no, don't worry. You got this. Because I won't let you be tempted or tested beyond what you can bear. I won't. The God who delivers. It goes on to say in that verse, not only does he provide a way out, but it goes on to say, not only does it say that he is faithful, he won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear, he says, but also he also adds, and God will provide a way out so that you can endure. I think sometimes the reason we give in to temptation isn't because, you know, God's, you know, withholding good from us. It's sometimes we just choose to miss the exit. There's a way out of it. And sometimes we're like going, I just think I want to go down the road a little bit further. Anybody here ever missed the exit? You're on the interstate and you're like going, shoot, this was my exit. And now you got to go the long way around to get where you're going. Some of you, you're going around the long way because you've been missing the exit. And sometimes the reason we miss the exit is because we're actually not in prayer saying, God, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Because God's not only saying to you, listen, not only can you overcome the stuff that you're in, but I want to give you wisdom. I want to give you grace. I want to give you strength. I want to give you favor so you can get through. See, Jesus, he wants us to pray in a certain way. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the pagans, but this is how you pray. You say, our Father in heaven, recognizing that life is more than just me, and just the moment we're in. It's about inviting God to make his name known in the midst of the circumstance we're in. It's about aligning ourselves with God's purpose. Beginning to say yes to what he's calling us to, whether we feel like it or not. It's about trusting God to meet our needs. That he will provide the daily bread. He will provide what is enough for you to get through today. That he provides the grace so that we can walk well with others. And he prepares us for life in a broken world. Again, for the follower of Jesus, prayer is not an if you pray. It's a when you pray. It's not just a why we pray, but it's a how we pray. And when we begin to pray as Jesus teaches us to pray, I want you to know it just begins to reorient our perspective, and it begins to change our posture. Because we're in his presence, the Father says, listen, there is good I want to give you so that you don't have to walk under the burden of worry, that you might be the children and the followers that I've called you to be, that you may serve God's purpose. My prayer is that we would allow our confidence in our Father in heaven to empower us to pray and to believe him so that we might live the lives that he's called us to. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love us. Lord, I thank you that you're all that we need. And God, I know that there are so many times in our lives where we get so overwhelmed. And God, we begin to worry. Yet, Lord, I thank you that you are the good God who provides good gifts for his children. Lord, I thank you that life is more than just me. And God, I pray that we would lean into your presence, that we would walk with your people. Just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many would just simply say, you know what? I need grace to meet me today. Maybe there's a struggle you're facing. Maybe there's some worry that you're just kind of wrestling through and you're like going, God, I need grace to help me today. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Because I want to pray with you. See those hands. Is there anyone else? Thank you. You can put them down. Lord, these are your children. Children you love. Father, I speak grace and blessing over each one even now. And God, in the face of all our worries and our concerns, we come before you. And Lord, we pray, even as our Savior taught us to pray. So let's all say this together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.